I'm Anna Sale in for Leonard Lopate today. In 1972, Jane Pauley, a scholarship student, graduated from Indiana University with a political science degree. Within 4 years, she replaced Barbara Walters as the co-host of The Today Show. That was one of the first of many unexpected events in her award-winning career as a journalist, TV host, storyteller, and writer. Now, Ms. Pauley has written Your Life Calling, about the many planned and unplanned reinventions in all our lives, and for her monthly TV series on The Today Show called Life Reimagined Today. The book is published by Simon & Schuster, and I'm so pleased to welcome broadcast legend Jane Pauley to WNYC. Welcome to the Leonard Lopate Show, Ms. Pauley.
Well, it is an absolute pleasure to be here. I really look forward to it. My parents are gone now. They would be surprised to hear me described as a scholarship student.
They worked paid quite the hard.
Way. They paid the way.
Excuse me, Pauley.
That's all right. Nobody wanted to give me any money.
So the focus of your book is on reinventions.
Yes.
So I want to start by asking, you were born in 1950. This is your 64th year.
Yes.
When I'm 64 is this idea about what life is like at 64 that the Beatles came up with.
Well,
what's your life
I'm
like?
I'm 63 now, but, I figure once you're over 50, we're all in the same boat. And the Gen Xers start turning 50 in February. But I think what is different is that I remember having lunch with my 50-something girlfriends when our children were still probably in high school. All of them are now millennials, and my twins have just turned 30. And talking about what we wanted to do, women in our 50s, and commenting at that in that lunch that imagine our parents, our mothers in particular, thinking in their 50s about what they would do next. So this would have been 10, 15 almost years ago when I had this conversation. So this isn't something new. What is new is that generationally we have an opportunity to get a heads up that life is probably going to be longer, more vital, more filled with opportunities, or at least the responsibility to make the next decade or two or three or maybe four matter. Interesting, to stay engaged and productive. This is an idea my parents and grandparents didn't have.
So you mentioned it's a slightly different experience for women than men. Was it different in your household when your kids were grown and left between you and your husband, Gary Trudeau, the creator of Doonesbury? Did you experience that differently?
Well, I can't speak for him. I don't know that we ever really talked about it, though we did downsize at my suggestion. I'm the change agent in our relationship. Gary is has had a very varied career, despite, yes, he's met cartoon deadlines daily for 44 years or more, but he's also done television plays. So he doesn't need my book. But he doesn't want to move the furniture. He doesn't relish change in the way that I do. But we left a large home where we'd raised our family of five when our youngest was in high school, the spring of his senior year. And it just seemed there were only going to be two molecules bumping around that house. Mm-hmm. And it was my suggestion that we downsize. Gary, you know, recognizing my point, gave me his permission. And we were in our new home before Tommy was in his freshman dorm. I move fast. Frankly, finding the off-ramp seems to be where I go. I don't need to know a destination. So I feel differently about the future and about change and transition than a lot of people do. You know, some people are just like me, and a lot of people will go kicking and screaming out of the status quo. But I've been thinking about change and transition since I was pretty close to your age. You're in your early 30s.
And in my early 30s,
yes.
Well, that was an interesting thing that I saw you have seen is that you have generally felt comfortable aging because when you first became part of the national consciousness, you were 25 years old and took a lot of knocks for being too young for the big job that you had.
I still had braces on the back molars of my teeth and on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post. And I assure you, I was not raised to be famous and to imagine that I would ever have my face on the cover of a magazine. But my retired orthodontist sent me a letter suggesting that it was time to have them removed because you could see them glinting a little bit in my smile. But so no one turned 30, more comfortably than I did. It felt so ripe and kind of womanly. I looked forward to that. 40 was kind of a shock. I found myself when I was 39, if you ask me how old I was, I would say 40. I don't know why. Like I was practicing, but I thought it would be like turning 40 easy because I had been – no, it didn't. The morning I turned 40 and looked in the mirror at a 40-year-old woman, But 50 was better. And there is research that shows researchers, frankly, were surprised at this. The decade of the 40s is kind of a bummer. It is where feelings of dissatisfaction are the highest, feelings of well-being the lowest. And it's true around the world, rich and poor, men and women. But the real revelation for researchers was that around the age of 50, those feelings rebound. They start to, the curve, that U-curve turns and starts heading upward again and keeps heading upward. So now I'm 13 years past 50, and I feel better than I really remember feeling. I mean, I can't really account for how I felt in my 20s and 30s. 40s, not so good. 50s, a little better. 60s are fine, and because I have... I don't have the responsibilities of children at home anymore. My parents have been gone for a decade, decade and a half. So some of my peers are still looking after children and aging parents at the same time. So I have a luxury that some listeners don't have who can't think 5 minutes, about themselves in any given day. But I can. I can exercise. I didn't jog or do workouts or any of that. I'm in better physical condition probably since I was a junior high school cheerleader. So life is just different for my generation. We are going to go into our quote unquote retirement years still in robust good health.
I want to ask you about that because I've noticed this in
there's
my
an
parents.
Asterisk. There's an asterisk at the end of that, robust good health asterisk, but no.
Yes. I mean, there are generally, when you look at statistics, more healthful years later, if you survive at a certain point, you've got more years of healthful years. And I see my parents joining clubs at like they never had before in their lives at this point in their lives. And it makes sense to me that the 40s are a little tough because not only do you have sort of both ends of kids and potentially your parents to deal with, but you're also letting go of your youthful potential. You're letting go of your youth, whereas in your 50s, you're sort of a little bit more comfortable in your skin.
Also, in your 40s, your career either is rewarding or it's burdensome. You've got a boss that's wonderful or awful, colleagues that you enjoy or suffer, but you can't. You feel like you can't do anything about it because you have these responsibilities, which as you age into a different set of responsibilities, some of those pressures let go a bit. On the other hand, a woman or a man whose children go off to college, I found this on the web, just ran into a posting, was a woman who, it began, anybody have any ideas for a small business? And she goes on to explain both of her boys are in college now. I gathered she'd been a stay-at-home mom. And she completes her post by saying, "Can anyone help me find out who I am?" Which I thought was, I wanted to leap through the internet and find her and counsel her. But on the other hand, here was a woman who didn't know who she was, but she was kind of asking, the zeitgeist, there was implicitly some sense that someone knew the answer to her question. And I had no doubt that had I visited her a year later or 2 years later, she would smile at having ever asked that question. She did become a different person or recognized a different person. But there are transitions in life, to quote Sue Halpern from my book, when you get shaken out of your routine and you begin to ask yourself questions about, well, do I have capacities to do new things and want to do new things and learn new things? You've got time. As she put it, as she described her house as having a silence that was like a noise, then she went on to surprise me by comparing it to a gift box that she could fill any way she wanted.
So I want to ask about you. You said you're the change agent in your relationship.
Yes.
You have had many changes in your career.
I haven't changed my relationship. I've been married for almost
34
years.
You've not changed your relationship. Congratulations on that one. You left the Today Show in 1989, and that transition was quite public.
Yes.
When Deborah Norville took over as co-anchor. I wonder if having these transitions that the public was consuming and kind of became tabloid fodder, did that kind of affect your appetite for risk, that maybe you just, having gone through that, it made you more willing to just sort of try the next thing?
No, I think, I don't know what I would have said if you'd asked me this when I was that young woman, but I think that episode revealed to me a person who was resilient and who thought strategically, because I imagined...
Tell me about that, what it, strategically.
Well, I recognized after 13 years as co-host of Today, which was at that time a record, that NBC would likely be looking to make a change. They clearly had found someone. Deborah was really smart, very talented. If NBC didn't give her a job, some network would. And that, but I didn't want to see myself shunted to a corner after having grown up so self-consciously uncredentialed as a 25-year-old. I had grown into some sense that I was entitled to play in the major leagues, and to be shunted into a corner and see that brand, if you will, diminished. I didn't want that to happen. So my thinking, I thought it was so straightforward and simple that NBC simply would throw me a party, and I would pass the torch, and a new era on the Today Show would begin. It's such a long story, but the long story short is I had a contract, and networks don't make contracts with people to allow them to say, it works out better for me if I leave now and not 2 years from now. So that's why all the brouhaha. But no, I think it didn't teach me. It revealed to me that I was a more competent, capable, risk-taking person. And that, and this is a pattern in my whole life, unlike many people, I can take the off-ramp without really having to know where it leads. I'm not famously an optimist in my family. They called me a danger mom raising my kids. But I do seem to have an optimism about the future, and not just my own future, because my big idea is that my generation, as you know, we are the biggest generation.
You dominate.
We have, just by going through the stages of life, having our children, with careers, we changed everything just by doing it. And in my case, on camera. Now we are aging into the conventional retirement years, and some of us eager to get there, some of us kicking and screaming. But a lot of us will say, and not think it's counterintuitive, I can't wait to retire so I can do something different. The phrase I sometimes use, and I borrowed it from a friend, retirement used to be a door marked exit. Now it's more like a door that swings on a hinge, moving someone from something to something else. And it's not necessarily a new career, though I've written about people I've interviewed for whom the Brigadier General, Anthony Tata, was a young Brigadier General, had a 30-year career in the military because he entered West Point at 17, figured he was young enough to start an entire second career. That is kind of the exception. Sue Halperin, who I quoted before, has 50 IQ points on me. She was a Guggenheim Fellow and a Rhodes Scholar and is a college professor. But with this opportunity, this gift box I referred to before, trained her dog Pransky to be a therapy dog, and 2 hours a week they visit a nursing home. So reimagining the rest of your life can be something as small as Rich Luker discovering a softball league. He's not retired, but he plays softball with a over 50 league, and he's a social psychologist by profession, recognized his generation was different than our parents.
You're entering this conversation about retirement age and new phases post 50, while there's also economic data showing that people are having to work longer, that there are economic realities at play here that people are grappling with. So where does that play in to this conversation about thinking openly about what could be next?
I mean, well, I am a reality-based person. Every story I do, and we've done 37 stories now on the Today Show in my Your Life Calling Now rebranded Life Reimagined series, and every one of them has a reality check. I'm not interested in astonishing you with, you know, who knew people could climb? You know, that interests me not at all. I want people who are regular folk to inspire each other to have a conversation. So you're going to have to repeat the question because sometimes I get so taken
my question
with my
was
idea.
Just when you're talking about new phases, there's an inherent risk in that at a time when people are looking for stability into their old age.
I've never heard anybody lose their train of thought on this program before.
It happens all the time.
The first time. Yes, there are people who are still working because they have to. There are people who can't find jobs, though they need to. We have a lot in common with my millennials. To be 20-something and just starting out when you don't really know who you are yet or what you want to do or their opportunities aren't available. The reality is what the reality is. And I'm often asked, isn't this an idea just for the elite? As if people who aren't elite aren't going to find themselves at 65 and with the opportunity to live another few decades and have the question, how will I fill those years? That's not an elite question. And so it's kind of a heads up that we have both an opportunity or maybe a personal responsibility to account for these bonus decades. Everybody knows, I have an Aunt Martha who lived to be 90, and most of those 90 years in robust, good health. She's my role model. And so we didn't invent this. The difference is that just millions of us are now getting the message that that could be us.
And one more question for women and men who are on screen like yourself. I mean, I don't know if you heard that great line from the Golden Globes, Tina Fey's line, Meryl Streep, proof that the Meryl Streeps over 60 have plenty of roles. Does that resonate with you when thinking about aging and opportunity?
Meryl Streep, I interviewed her at my alma mater, Indiana University, and she said, how old do you think Betty Davis was when she starred in All About Eve, a story of a way over the hill actress? 40. It is, to quote Meryl Streep, a different world for all of us.
I've been speaking with Jane Pauley. Her book is called Your Life Calling, Reimagining the Rest of Your Life. She'll be in conversation with Tom Brokaw at the 92nd Street Y tonight at 8:15. More information is available on our show page. Jane Pauley, it's been a pleasure.
It's been mine.